UCB, make some noise for Not In My Backyard!
Everything's wrong with the universe. Accepting change is hard. Everything's bad and it's getting worse, but not in my backyard.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Not In My Backyard. How's everyone doing tonight?
Thanks for coming out, everybody. My name is Charlie Todd.
I'm Cody Lindquist. I'm his wife.
We are a married couple, and we love local news and politics.
We
met here at this comedy theater.
We did. We met at the UCB Theater. We fell in love over our passion for local community service projects.
I don't know about that. but I am a member of the public member of Community Board 4 serving on the Transportation Planning Committee, although my views tonight are not necessarily those of the Community Board.
That's right, and I am on the Community Education Council, which is Manhattan's version of the school board, and the views tonight do not reflect the views of the board, but I'm here to tell you that we know what we're talking about.
We have some really fantastic panelists today, comedians, writers, and journalists. But before we get started, we like to do a pop quiz with the audience.
We have such a smart audience. We're very, like, impressed by you guys. You're always very smart.
All right, so here's pop quiz question number one. The Mamdanis released their tax returns this month. Without going over, what was their total income in 2025? Shout it out.
Is it 130K? 130.
What you got? 141. 120.
Okay.
I'm going to give it to 141. The answer is $145,000. Very
nice. Yeah. Super rich. Tax that 1%.
Okay. Bonus question. How much of that income came in the form of royalties from Mamdani's former career as a rapper by the name of Mr. Cardamom? How much in royalties did he make?
$1,600.
$1,200. I think this guy is really up on the news here. That it was, wait, actually, hold on. What did you say?
16.
Never mind. Sorry. I thought it's 1643. Very nice. Very nice. Okay. One more bonus question on this topic. What was Kathy and Bill Hochul's reported income? Kathy Hochul's reported income. Anyone? Toss it out.
1.3.
Okay.
Anyone else? Yes. $450,000.
I love this Price is Right rules, guys.
What's that? $2 million. That's the closest, but Price is Right rules, I got to give it over here. It was $1.86 million for Kathy and Bill Hochul.
You know what? She doesn't live in the city, so that's going a long way up in Albany.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
Mamdani, like, 145 in the city is basically nothing. And anyway, maybe we pay our governor too much.
All right. Next up, I want to do a head-to-head quiz. The topic is Manhattan geography, and to be more specific, it's going to be about roads in Manhattan, naming streets.
So
in
we
Manhattan.
Need two people to come up here. There will be a prize
who thinks,
at the
who
end.
Who thinks? Okay, all right, give it up. We have contestant number
don't
one
make him
here.
Come
tell
up
everybody
here alone.
Your name.
We need one more
I'm
person.
James.
We have James.
Hi, James.
Okay. We need one more person.
One
there
more
is a
person.
Prize. There is a prize. Even if you can just name a couple.
Guys, it's not going to be that hard.
Okay,
come
we've
on
got,
up.
We've got
come
a challenger.
Up.
All right, come on up.
I do.
Okay.
I live in Manhattan.
So James lives in Manhattan. And what's your name?
Deb.
Deb,
okay,
do you live in Manhattan?
No, Brooklyn, so I should get a few.
Okay, yeah, well,
right,
that's
question,
true. That's
we'll
true.
See.
We'll grade you on a curve, maybe.
All right, so we have Deb versus James. We'll make James go first since he's a Manhattan resident. This question is a little too complicated for its own good, but listen and bear me out here. Please name as many avenues or streets that run north-south in Manhattan between 14th Street and 59th Street, excluding the numbered avenues and the highway. So we're not doing First Avenue, Second Avenue, Third Avenue. So not an avenue that is known by a number, and not the West Side Highway or the FDR, but other north-south avenues that are between 14th and 59th Street. We'll start with James.
Park Avenue.
Park Avenue is correct.
Madison.
Madison Avenue is correct.
Lexington.
Lexington Avenue is correct. Starting to get hard after those three.
I can see it, I think, but that doesn't count, so.
Okay, Deb can't name another one. James, can you name one for the win? You already have the WED. Can you name any more?
So no numbered avenues, correct, including fractional numbered avenues.
No, yeah, we'll do it. I'll just have to fraction.
Okay, 6.5 avenues.
6.5 avenues. All right, let's give it up for Deb and for James.
Thank you.
You guys
Deb.
Can have a seat. Great work. James, as the winner, you've won 2 free tickets to our next show. You just have to follow us on Instagram and send us a DM.
Here's a little trick that I learned when I was a tour guide 20 years ago in New York City. If you want to remember Lexington, the order of like Lexington Park, Madison, it's 3 little pigs make 5. So 3rd, Lexington Park, Madison, 5th. 3 little pigs make 5.
Madison is make. Wow. All right.
You're welcome, everyone. Aren't you so glad I'm no longer
a
tour guide?
So did anybody in the audience have an answer that wasn't named? Yes. York, East End and West End is north of 59th Street. Actually, as is York. I can't accept any of those. Anyone else?
Oh, man.
Anyone? Dyer? Is that here? Dyer's
Yeah,
correct.
We have Broadway, the Broadway, Irving Place, Union Square West, Union Square East, University Place, Vanderbilt Avenue, Dyer Avenue. Oh, Dyer Avenue. What? Dyer Avenue
Beautiful
is
avenue.
A gorgeous, scenic place.
Entrance to the Lincoln Tunnel.
If any of you know, don't breathe in there.
Sutton Place, Beekman Place. Yep. There's some real weird ones
I
on
have
here.
Never heard of Mount Carmel Place.
Mount Carmel
I think
place,
you made that up.
No, I looked all over Google Maps. Okay, so follow us, and everyone should follow us on our Instagram. That's at NIMBY_show,
yep.
I believe. Our next show, I want to plug our next show. That is going to be Thursday, May 28th at 7 p.m. here at UCB Theater, and it's going to be a transportation special. We have Betsy Plum from the Writers Alliance, I believe executive director of the Writers Alliance. We also have Ben Furness, the executive director of Transportation Alternatives, and we have Gersh Kuntzman from Streets Blog, and we're going to be talking all transit, all bike lanes.
It's your dream show, Charlie.
It's my dream show.
Charlie wants to talk about congestion pricing all the time.
So tonight's going to be a little light on those topics because we're saving up for next
We'll save
month.
Them, so come out for that. It'll be fun.
Okay. Are you guys ready to meet our panelists? He is a comedian and writer for shows like Desus and Mero and The Opposition with Jordan Klepper. Please welcome Justin Tyler.
He is a writer for Late Night with Seth Meyers and the new movie Brian. Please welcome Mike Scollins.
And she is a senior reporter at The City and the co-host of FAQ NYC podcast. Please welcome Katie Honan.
Oh my gosh, thank you guys so much for being here. Has anybody ever heard of Carmel Place?
Mount Carmel Place.
Mount Carmel Place.
No.
3 little pigs make 5.
No, but my mind was blown by 3 little pigs back there.
Thank you so much.
I was like,
can
I get one thing out of this show?
Where do you come up with this stuff?
So Justin Tyler and I were on a little thing called The Ride together, probably 15, 20 years ago?
15 to 20 years ago, yes.
Before we had success. Boy, that place was crazy.
That place was crazy. It was a bus. You've probably seen it. Drove around the city with an audience facing out one side of it, glass side. We were on it. There was a long subplot story about how the two hosts dated, and it was a romance. They eventually dispensed with that, and we gave facts about New York.
Sometimes we get stuck in holiday traffic, and boy, will we be pulling out 3 Little Pigs Make 5. A lot of famous people on the ride. Darcy Carden was one of the hosts on the ride.
Bowen Yang?
Bowen. Yeah, was Bowen on the ride?
I think so.
No.
Maybe I'm wrong.
No.
One of the audience knows.
Ride fans out there, great.
Yeah, the ride heads. Thanks, ride heads, for
really
coming
good.
To every show for the last 15 years. All right, we're going to get to talk about New York today because that's why we're here. So I want to talk about 100 days. Mamdani recently celebrated his first 100 days in office, and he touted his brand of pothole politics. How's the panel feeling about his performance for the first 100 days?
Good.
Yeah. Okay, moving on. We did it.
It's early. I don't know. Someone pointed out it's like 4% of his first term, right? The first 100 days, if he serves only one term. So
also,
even less
I mean,
of a state.
Also, I love Zorin, but like the bar is so low.
Yeah.
Like, and not even just our last mayor, our last several mayors have all kind of sucked shit that like, the fact that I haven't been like, why isn't he in prison yet?
Yeah.
Means me, I'm like, all right, he's doing a better job than most.
He's light on gaffes so far. He hasn't had any international crime scandals yet.
It is funny that, like, Adam's whole thing was like, we got to bring the swagger back to New York City. And then Mamdani literally did. He's like, no, I'm just charming. So yeah. I was like, oh, there's the swagger we wanted.
Yeah, and just, Eric Adams was at nightclubs, Zero Bond nightclub all the time, and he was the nightlife mayor, even though we have a nightlife mayor. But Mayor Mamdani at night, he's like hanging out with like the DOT and filling potholes in the middle of the night and like with the DSNY shoveling snow. And I think it's just, I think he's been really smart in the way that he's connected, like in a very physically present way with the municipal workers of the city. Katie, have you noticed anything different about covering the mayor, because you covered Eric Adams extensively, and now you're covering Mamdani?
Well, I will say the last 2 years of Eric Adams covering it was, I know Instagram is always talking about high cortisol, you know, so that I feel like the stress of who's going to get arrested, who's going to get indicted, whose house got raided, who's going to lie at me, who's going to yell at me today, who's going to, you know, call a reporter sick and dark for asking about something that was reported. So it's been a very, and that all just ended on New Year's Eve, right? At the stroke of midnight, it just ended. So that's what it's been. But all mayors and covering them are annoying. They're all very micromanaging and crazy about their image. But it's been a lot more pleasant, I will say, so far. Who knows if, you know, once the federal indictments start rolling down, maybe it'll change. But I don't foresee that happening yet with this mayor.
I mean, there's a legit difference in the holes in the streets in New York City. Like, it's crazy how much that actually does matter. Literally in Bed-Stuy and Crown Heights, where I live, though, there are fewer potholes. And you hear the stats where he's like, yeah, we filled like 40,000 potholes in the city. It's crazy that there's that many. What stuff did they find?
So in the meantime, I want to give an Eric Adams update. He is now an Albanian citizen.
Let's go, baby.
Congrats.
We're so happy for him. And Katie, I'm curious. We have to take this question to you again. Why, can you explain the whole Albania thing?
We all thought it was going to be Turkey, but yeah, it's Albania. So do you know?
Do have Eric Adams on the line who also wants to know why. He doesn't know why either, and he wants you to
fill. What time is it in Tirana? Eric Adams, I wish I could explain him, even though I did spend so much of my life covering him. He is a true mystery. When he was running for mayor, he said he was going to retire in the Golan Heights in Israel, so I don't know what happened. I think he's one of those, like, you like me, I love you, like that kind of person. And his warm embrace of so many different groups here in the city, and for whatever reason, that is, Albania has taken him in. His son performed in the Albanian version of American Idol. Like, I don't know if it was called Albanian Idol. So that has...
Wow.
Yeah, that is his son, J.O., the rapper, did perform in the Albanian version of American Idol. He didn't win.
Did he... He just came in as an American, was like, hey.
Despite our investigative skills, none of my colleagues or I have ever figured out why he performed in the Albanian version of America, or like how, but...
Did Mr. Cardamom ever perform in Albanian American?
No, I mean, well, that we know of yet.
We don't know.
I think he just did music videos. I don't know if I actually don't know if Mr. Cardamom ever did like a concert. That's a good question.
That's a good question for you the next time you have an interview with him.
I did find it interesting that he made $1,600 off of his rap career in 2025.
I was shocked at that number. That seems like a lot to me.
Yeah, is that just like...
I don't know anyone made money off Spotify, so that was like a huge shock that it wasn't that much.
My only thought was that it is YouTube ads that after he became famous,
right,
people went, I knew him before.
He's in the YouTube partner program. He's getting an AdSense cut, and these old videos were viewed a lot last year,
right,
because he became famous.
This is the scandal we need.
He does make
that's
us
how
watch
you guys
them.
Get away.
He does play them at every press conference. I don't know if that's a...
He's
no, he
bumping up the views.
Kidding. Yeah.
He's bumping up the views, cashing in.
The only reason he became mayor was to make his YouTube channel more money. I love
mandatory
it.
Mandatory in schools, bones. Yeah.
I do want to talk about staying with Mamdani. Obama and Mamdani visited a pre-K center in the Bronx last week, and I don't know if anybody else's Instagram feeds were like this, and maybe it's just because I am a 46-year-old mom, but every person that I saw that posted it was like, this is porn.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, just two nice people talking to children, two nice men, I'm sorry, having a conversation with children, and the women were like losing their fucking mind. So is the bar that low for men? Men on the panel, you want to chime in?
Yes.
I think it, if not lower, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they say like no one does better than a single dad at the park. Because women are just so enamored of, like, oh my God, you're taking care of your child?
Yeah.
You're babysitting your child? So the oh, fact wait, that, is like, it babysitting if it's your child?
Exactly. Yeah. Dad's babysitting tonight. No, he has a son.
It's.
But I think, like, seeing Obama and Mamdani, like, without their wives, and they just love children. Everyone's like, oh my God, this is hot, right? This is, like, kind of sexy?
I mean, yes.
No?
But no, I think it is. But like, those two guys together, what are we doing? What are they doing? What are they up to? I feel like that's a dangerous combination if they sort of fuse their powers.
I think it's because Obama sees the writing on the wall and is aligning himself with, like, there's a lot, Obama is fairly centrist, especially compared to Mamdani. Uh-huh. But, and I think a lot of people are like, oh, we got to court the right instead of courting people that are further left than us. And I think Obama's, like, seeing which way the winds. There's people that's, like, Schumer still hasn't endorsed Mamdani. And I think Obama's like, no, this is, like, he's the future.
Oh,
I'm gonna get on board. I'm going to get on board now.
I forgot about Schumer. Is he still alive, Katie?
I know. He's still around. Whether he's effective or doing anything, that's, like, another
I just haven't heard
story.
From him. Yeah. I haven't heard from him.
Yeah, so. Every Sunday he does a press conference because he knows
question.
The news,
like,
is slow.
Have Schumer and Mamdani talked at all? I mean, because Schumer never endorsed him to the
Schumer was
end.
At the inauguration. Okay. But beyond that, he was still, up until, like, you know, late October, was thinking about it.
What's his game plan? He's holding back the endorsement for what? I mean, he's mayor now. What are we doing?
Day of the election, he was asked, like, so did you vote for Mamdani? He's like, I voted. Isn't that enough?
Yeah.
Not really.
Hakeem Jeffries, they're all afraid. And I think when Obama was with him in the trial, I will say, porn around a child care center does make me uncomfortable.
It made me uncomfortable, too. I agree. I didn't say that. I'm saying that's what everyone
like a political pornography.
You're right. Obama was probably surprised to be around someone who was more charismatic. Because he's been around Democratic politics for years. He's like, these guys are pathetic. But being around someone more charismatic than him was probably a trip.
He's trying to soak up some of that charisma. He walked out of the room. His hair was less gray. He's soaking it up. He's sucking the soul.
All right, we want to talk about the pied-à-terre tax. Governor Hochul proposed a tax on second homes in New York City worth over $5 million, generating an estimated $500 million a year in revenue. Mamdani celebrated with a social media video below Billionaires Row in Manhattan, announcing, "We are taxing the rich." Meanwhile, Trump posted that Mayor Mamdani is destroying New York with the second home tax, which just might apply to Trump Tower. Meanwhile, Borough President Brad Holman Siegel has been trying to get this pied-à-terre tax passed for 12 years during his time as state senator. Can we check taxing the rich off the Mamdani checklist, or is this just a tiny first step?
No, I don't want to bore the audience or the listeners about the Department of Finance's use of assessed value versus market value, but I don't think it will be the windfall that people would hope, because even a $30 million condo, the assessed value might be like $2 million. So not to be...
But they haven't written the bill yet, so hopefully they'll address that when they write the bill.
See, my third home's in Manhattan, so it's fine for me.
That's a loophole. If your second home
exactly.
is in
put
the
your second house, because that's how you rank them, right? How does that work exactly?
I think three and up, you don't have to pay any taxes.
Yeah, exactly.
Just one to two is where they get you.
What's your life like?
Linda Yaccarino, the former CEO of X,
posted
on X, like, this is the scariest thing I can imagine. Fucking is it? God bless. I would love the scariest
what a life
thing
that
I could
is,
imagine was a tax on my second New York home.
Yeah.
And she said it's only going to get worse from here.
Well, but they've cracked the code on this, like, full front thing, like, exactly those statements where it's like, this is a nightmare. We're all leaving. I'm like, fuck that. I think this is a first step to answer your question. It's the first step, but it has to go much further than this because it is the amount of loopholes they have access to is insane. Their life is loopholes. They're inside of a loophole. And I feel like we have to chase that so hard to get them.
I mean, look, we've all spent time outside of New York City. Have you ever gotten a decent falafel or a decent slice of pizza? Like, I'm sorry, they're not leaving. They can't leave. Like, we have the best things here.
But these people that are being taxed, they've already left. They don't live here.
Right. Their second home is here, and they come in so they can get a slice of pizza delivered to them by a child or whatever.
Or they pretend that this isn't their primary residence so they can get... You know, they're already doing a... their pied-à-terre, which I always call a pied-à-terre.
Let's boil it down. If you say the word pied-à-terre, you should have to pay $100
right.
to someone.
If you know how to pronounce it.
Enough of that word. That's not, should be said as a place.
Yeah, that's true. That's French. How you know if you deserve it or not.
Translate that from the French. It's like where you put your foot. Isn't that what that means? The earth where you put your foot? French people in the crowd?
It's earth foot. It's earth foot, right?
Get your earth foot. Second earth foot?
I have not. I took French for 8 years, and I forgot every bit of it, so I'm sure that's all wrong. Please don't fact check. All right, the World Cup is coming up. New Jersey Transit will charge an eye-popping $150 for a round-trip train to each game, a major markup of the usual $12.90 price. Public transit will be critical for the games, especially as FIFA has announced that parking will not be allowed at MetLife Stadium. The parking lots will instead be used to host fan engagement events. Guys, what the fuck? That's my question.
It's a great question. I mean, I'm in favor of anything that reduces cars, so I'm like, good, they can't drive there. But is that just like surge pricing on public transportation? That's fucking insane.
They also have
And not to mention, it's not like... That's the one time something's happening at MetLife. That seems like a pretty slippery slope.
I feel like they're going to be running the same fucking trains, I bet. They don't have nicer trains going.
I think like the pied-à-terre tax, it's hard for me to get too upset about it because I can't afford the World Cup anyway. So it's way outside of my, I don't know who this is for. And it seems like other cities like Philadelphia seems to have a much better handle on how to deal with people, but...
Well, someone made the point that you could take Amtrak to Philadelphia for a lot cheaper than $150, so it might be more a better value for New Yorkers to go there.
It is bonkers that we're like, oh, MetLife Stadium is a good option. There's no reliable public transportation there. You know, you have to take a bus back and forth. It's kind of crazy that we were like, sure, that seems like a good place.
Also, what if you're taking that not for the World Cup?
You're not allowed. Yeah. You need to show a ticket.
You need to show a ticket to get on? That
you're going to close parts of Penn Station.
That is absolutely fine.
My restaurant job is right next to MetLife. What am I going to do?
Sorry, brother. You better start walking.
There's still time for me to, I think, make the men's team. So maybe I'll try to get in.
That is the cheapest way, yeah.
The cheapest way under the radar.
So the New Jersey governor has said that they're bearing all of these costs for the World Cup, and they have to recoup them some way, and that they have a lot of additional costs to run more trains for the games. But I struggle. I agree with your point, Justin, is MetLife Stadium has a fixed number of seats, right? And Oasis sells it out, and Taylor Swift sells it out, and the Giants sell it out. So, like, why is it that different? Is there more than one game a day? Like, I'm struggling to understand why the World Cup is going to be that big of a deal for the city.
Well, I think it's just going to be a magnet for rich people the world over. So that's why they're like, well, we have to charge a ton of money because we can. And all the rest of us are like, well, we're just going to either not care about soccer as much or just watch it in a bar in the middle of the day.
So speaking of watching it in a bar, on Monday, Governor Kathy Hochul announced that bars and restaurants will be able to apply for permits, allowing them to host events throughout the World Cup. The proposal would also temporarily ease certain state liquor authority restrictions. Businesses with earlier closing times could request permission to stay open as late as 4 a.m. during live matches, and bars could hold outdoor events throughout the World Cup. So should bars spill out onto the sidewalks with watch parties for the World Cup?
Yeah, I think it should be pure chaos. It should be like cars toppled over when like Uruguay defeats Germany or something.
Hell yeah.
Just for the fun, I don't know, just for the pure chaotic energy of it. And just to, I don't know, maybe make FIFA have to foot the bill for the millions of dollars in damage in New Jersey or something.
It's crazy to me. I feel like every city in America is like, what if we were New Orleans too? It's like, let's just have a bar here now. Everyone can get fucked up everywhere is the goal of America now. And it feels like, especially on the heels of the last story where it's like, you can't go. It's like, well, let's make the peanuts a little saltier at the bars in New York for all the poors to have some fun.
Well, so it's interesting you mentioned New Orleans because this has been discussed by our assembly member, or our neighborhood's assembly member, Tony Simone, wanted to allow people to kind of get drinks from one bar and just walk around and have entertainment zones. And he proposed that 9th Avenue and Hell's Kitchen be one of these entertainment zones. Someone gave a statement to the press from our community board saying, you know, this is really vague. We don't know what this is. Are they saying that 9th Avenue should be Bourbon Street for 2 months? And he was saying it, and like, that's horrifying, but maybe it should be. Like, Bourbon Street's pretty great. If they closed off the street for 2 months and you could walk around and drink, doesn't sound so bad to me.
Ninth Avenue is already like full of drunk people spilling out of bars. I guess this would just close it to traffic, so it would be safer.
Feels like a good idea.
And our children, Katie. There's children there
right.
too.
Sorry for the children.
Is Bourbon Street so fun? I feel like I'm gonna be in the minority here, but like the sidewalks for walking. I don't know. I don't want to have to like maneuver a party to cross a street.
But that's what Bourbon Street does. They block off the cars so that you can walk, and if people are partying and out there too, you can still walk. But that's what we just are dying so much as a society to have places to congregate and stand and hang out with friends.
Yes.
And New York is so hostile to it. We were just in Ireland over spring break, and you know, it's like when the businesses want people there, they close off the streets and you all hang out and you go from one bar to the next or one restaurant to the next. And even if you're not drinking, you are at least enjoying a stroll without worrying about your child getting run over by a car. It's lovely. I liked it.
I think it sounds great. And there are a lot of streets in between Bourbon Street and Ninth Avenue in America that can
That's true. A middle ground of fun.
That's true.
And without, and won't you just love to walk into a bachelor party and start hanging out with the bros?
I'd fucking hate it. And like outdoor dining, I sometimes feel similarly. Like I know we all had to do what we had to do to survive during COVID, but I'm like, this is a sidewalk. Why is your table here?
Are you on a community board? You sound like a community board.
Yes, you sound. You hate
sidewalks
outdoor
are not
dining.
For enjoying, it's for walking.
Well, speaking of events that I'm sure you would love, SantaCon.
This is what I'm talking about. Bourbon Street is, that's our, Bourbon Street is SantaCon.
That is the counter of not of reason to not allow public drinking.
Right.
Right?
So
it's already
I don't
happening.
Want to walk through SantaCon.
I don't know if you've heard about SantaCon, but the Southern District of New York said that the SantaCon founder, Stefan Pides? I don't know. I'm pronouncing that wrong.
Take his name out of your
mouth. If you're about to tell me the creator of SantaCon is a bad guy, I am fucking out.
Well, he instead funneled the bulk of the $2.7 million he raised from attendees between 2019 and 2024 for donations to charity into a slush fund for concert tickets, luxury vacations, and fine dining. Federal authorities arrested him on wire fraud charges. The FBI is asking for information from bar and restaurant owners who paid sales commissions to SantaCon. Will this finally be the nail in SantaCon's coffin, or will SantaCon live forever?
The Justice Department has gone too far, arresting the head of SantaCon for partying?
It's a political operation. I didn't know that you had to pay.
I was shocked too. I guess like they encourage you to donate to the SantaCon charity fund, which is just for him to get concert tickets.
I feel like there are some SantaCon participants that are probably doing it off the books, right? And just going to the bar.
There's a really great documentary on SantaCon that
Frederick Wiseman's documentary on SantaCon.
It premiered. It's had its premiere, but it's hopefully it'll probably be on Netflix in a year from now. But I'm in it. I have one line in it. I was interviewed for it because I have run a lot of. I want to say similar events, but I want to clarify that events where people are not drunk, but I run a lot of events with large numbers of people in public spaces. So I was interviewed for it and ended up just saying one line in the movie. But,
and your one line was, steal the money!
Yeah. You'll never get caught, you'll live forever!
The documentary does a great job of explaining the origins, which was sort of anti-capitalist chaos agents in San Francisco. Like, it started in, like, 1994. In San Francisco. Only came to New York in like the late 90s and only really became a thing in New York in the early 2000s. But it was very much in the spirit of like making fun of Christmas and anti-capitalism, and it had a little bit of that message to it. But at a certain point, it became guys from New Jersey who, people from Hoboken who
and Long Island, don't forget them.
Yeah, bridge that's and very reductive, Charlie.
Sorry. All tunnels and all bridges would come in and start getting drunk at 9 a.m. So this guy who ran it, he claims, and that by the way, this guy took over like 10 years ago. It's been going for 40 years. But he claimed that he added the charity thing to kind of like get it under control and to give it a message and to make it more positive. But apparently he was taking at least 50% of the money for himself. But it was news to me that that the bars paid a commission. I didn't know that.
To be on the list, the map.
That makes sense.
Because there's so many bars that put up signs saying no Santas on that day because they don't want to deal with it. But those that did, I guess, made a lot of money and gave a cut to this guy.
I'm a good Samaritan, babe. I donate my earnings to SantaCon.
Is that tax deductible?
Yeah.
You sounded like Steve from Sex and the City there. I guess he would host. It was a little
That's the exact impression I was doing. That's the exact impression I was doing.
SantaCon.
Related to SantaCon behavior, we do want to talk about public urination. I think that is the day where we have the most public
urination. You know what? You know you're a child in New York when you've walked by a Santa pissing on the street. That's when you know you're a New York child.
Public urination complaints in New York City are up 48% year over year. If you are caught urinating in public, you get a civil violation ticket for $50. Queen City Council member Joanne Arriola told AM New York, "The only way to bring the situation under control is to move public urination back to being a criminal offense rather than a civil infraction. These offenders are exposing themselves in public and creating health hazards, and they're only getting a slap on the wrist ticket if they get caught. Should peeing in public be a crime?"
This is where I am going to be fun. No. I think if we're going to do that, then we need to have more public restrooms. And I know that is like a big part of Mondami's platform. I haven't seen it yet, but I have pissed all over this city.
Yes, exactly. And this is really difficult for me, but I have.
Between the subway cars when they were moving anywhere.
But that is so sexist because
this is a tax on men.
All over this
city.
This
is a tax on men.
I found a way. It's much more difficult and it takes a lot more, but when you have to pee, you have to pee.
I know, that's right.
But you're not publishing this podcast anywhere, right? No, I'm just kidding.
But you were never caught.
No.
You have to be really failing at pissing in public to get busted.
That's right.
So if you get busted, yes, you should have to pay $50, but not go to jail. It's a tax for being stupid.
I agree 100%. It's a gamble. If you want to take it, it might cost you $50, but you also might be able to relieve yourself. And if you get caught, you are the one that did something wrong, I think.
Remember when we had that first nice day last week, and it was like everyone got their shorts out, like, it's summer. I walked down my house. Got my first whiff of piss, and I was like, it's summer. It's here.
Well, you have a Bourbon Street on
and
your
I live in a house. I live in a house with all men, so I'm constantly smelling pee. I have two boy children, and they pee everywhere.
Have you taught them to pee on the streets?
When you have little kids, every now and then they have to pee at the playground, and it's a playground with no bathroom, so you go to like the corner behind a tree or whatever.
Of course.
So,
a cup. We had a cup for a long time. That was my trick.
One cup, or you throw it away?
No, I would just rinse. No, of course I would throw it away. You get a little Solo cup.
Well, you said you had a cup. I thought
it was like so drink in your apartment.
In the bottom of our stroller, we had a red Solo cup. They'd piss in the Solo cup, and you'd throw it away.
It's good. Good policy.
Recycle it. I mean, you'd recycle it, because I am a conservationist.
You almost got caught.
Wait, you're still public urinating, but into a cup instead of onto the ground?
Well, then you dump it into a receptacle.
Receptacle.
You dump it on the train. You hold it until you find a drain?
Well, I know.
There's a drain.
What drain?
There's always a drain.
I mean, you know, like I'd go to your house and I'd go into your sink where your dishes
are.
And I'd dump it down that.
In the sewer grate on the corner.
Yeah. And there's some kid underneath the sewer grate going, what is that? Yeah. Is it raining? The mystery water in New York comes from somewhere, and it's from my child's red Solo cup.
Jesus. Wow, your child's. Way to put the blame on the kid. I grew up in the country where you're encouraged to pee outside. So, I don't know. I'm getting mixed messages.
But why encouraged?
Because that's nature.
We were encouraged to pee outside when we were kids, too. I grew up in Ohio. It was like, go out, don't come back. Don't come back till the streetlights come on. And if you have to pee, pee wherever you
Just
are.
Just don't pee on a tree or a flower bed. So
that's really nice. That's really nice.
But that's just for dogs. Humans can.
I think. Yeah, it's a good amount of water.
Katie, we want to ask you about the Inner Circle show that you work on. Mamdani and Curtis Sliwa, who we love to talk about, Curtis Sliwa on this show, they were in a comedy sketch together it was a comedy skit featuring Dr. Kliwa, a physician delivering allergy shots to Mr. Mamdani, an aspiring cat owner, because Mamdani has said that he's going to get allergy shots. New York Republicans say this is proof that Sliwa was colluding with Mamdani in order to help him win the election by not dropping out, the fact that they did a comedy sketch together. So, Katie, were you involved with the show? Do you think there's anything to this other than two men with a good sense of humor?
Well, just for people who might not be familiar, the Inner Circle is a reporters, current or retired reporters, journalists put on a variety show, a two-act show, parodying celebrities, celebrities, politicians. It started in 1923. So the Saturday night big muckety-muck black tie show, Mayor since the 1960s, have done a rebuttal. And Curtis Lee was in attendance on Saturday night because he was parodied. But we didn't know he was doing the video. We don't know what the mayor does until the night of and until it happens. The criticism of that video, which was very funny, you know, Mamdani pokes fun at himself. He makes fun of other reporters. The freak out from New York Republicans, including John Katsimatidis, who was in the audience, He buys like 12 tables. It was proof to me as a journalist having to cover this mayor, the criticism of this mayor is sometimes so absurd where it's like, I can't take anything seriously from the people, uh-huh. even if they have any legitimate criticism. It's just, you know, they were all like, this guy, they colluded against Andrew Cuomo. Well, I mean, yeah, they were running
we're
against
opponents.
Him. Yeah, like, you guys were the ones trying to ask the Republican candidate to drop out so the guy who already lost once can try to win right. again. And even mathematically, Curtis Lewa got 7% of the vote, and it's not like Cuomo lost by 7%. So the whole stuff is insane. That kind of, I think that was a partly New York Post. Believe it or not, sometimes the New York Post takes leaps with their reporting and perhaps manufactures crises. But it was, I mean, it was a very funny, they're all on YouTube. It was a very funny video, and I thought, look, this is Curtis Lewa. He was, believe it or not, like, even as the Republican, the more measured person against Mamdani, when, you know, he was after the primary, he was like, look, don't go after the guy's religion. There's enough to criticize him, but I'm not going to attack him on these baseless things. But the video is very funny, but it says a lot about New York Republicans that was what they spent a week complaining
Did
about.
Did the comedy writers see it? Just
I have not seen it yet, but I am 99% positive that last year, this was the event where we got an email from our writer's assistant saying Eric Adams is looking for someone to write jokes for his speech, offering us $5,000 if we would write. And no one has been shut down faster. It was just because it went out to all the writers on staff, and it was just like, no, fuck
so
no,
funny.
fucking absolutely not. And within 10 minutes, every writer had responded no.
That's great. And wow. It's hard to get that
Dying
many writers to do
anything.
To see
who said yes.
His monologue was very unfunny, and I thought he could have used some professionals.
Well, so he went out
at least
to them.
He had the same idea. The idea that anyone thinks you could make Curtis Lewa do anything is insane. Mm-hmm. If you've seen him speak, you're like, this guy doesn't collude with anyone but his cats.
Yeah. His many, many, many cats. We've talked about his cats a lot on the show. Are there any parents in the audience? I want to switch gears a little bit. Guys.
Shouts.
The New York Department of Education school calendar came out last night.
I know. I celebrated.
Oh, boy.
I was out in the streets pissing.
It's wild, everyone. The 2026 to 2027 DOE calendar was released, and the last day of school in 2027 will be on a Monday, June 28th.
Perfect.
That makes sense.
Last day of school's on a Monday.
Yeah, that's right.
Monday, June 28th.
Monday.
Is the last day
I'm gonna. That's the Monday of 4th of July week. That sounds like fun. Yep, I think I'll be there. and it's June 28th. Of course, kids have a random Tuesday off, June 8th, for a clerical day, and then 2 days later they have Thursday, June 10th off for anniversary day. Why are they not consecutive? Who knows? Why ask questions? Mm. And then we have other random things. We have the anniversary day, which is commemorating the first Sunday school on Long Island.
Ah, yes.
In Brooklyn.
That's old Brooklyn. That's I don't want to get
and
all.
It was Brooklyn. Brooklyn it was established day, yeah. as a legal holiday in Brooklyn and Queens, the New York State Legislature in 1959. The holiday was expanded to the five boroughs in 2005. And we also don't start school until Thursday, September 11th. 10th. So we have almost 2 extra weeks of school. Anyway, what the actual fuck? This is insane. Did AI come up with the calendar? Does the panel know?
The UFT, the teachers union, came up with the calendar, which is, if you've ever met a teacher, they probably love this calendar because they have an extra week of summer. It always starts a Thursday after Labor Day. All the things, all the mandated days off. Brooklyn Queens Day used to be a day off for kids in Brooklyn and Queens, all that history stuff. So they're not giving up their days off.
Yeah.
I get that. But the Monday, no one's going on the Monday.
It's gonna change. It's absolutely
going to change. Oh, I don't think that.
2 years ago, we had Monday, December 23rd was a day that we had. And nobody was going to go to that. And then there was a kid, I think he was in Queens, started a petition, and they changed it. It's like, no one is going to go. Who are you fucking kidding? Who is going to go the Monday of 4th of July week? That's bonkers insane. Yeah. They're going to get rid of it.
I know that the teachers union, they have it agreed upon that they don't go back until the Thursday after Labor Day, so they can have 2 days to get ready after Labor Day. That's fine. I don't mind the Thursday after Labor Day. That is what it is. But I don't think the teachers want to go to school on Monday, June 28th, and I don't know how that came to be. Also, the last couple of years, that clerical day and anniversary day, they put them together on a Thursday and Friday, so it's a four-day weekend, which is nice. It is insane to say we're going to go to school Monday, Wednesday, Friday in a week
like a
in
college
June.
Schedule.
Most of the country's not even in school crazy. In June, and we're going to go Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Oh, and I have to say the favorite thing is that we have a remote day on Election Day.
And I'd be willing to give anyone in this audience $1,000 if you couldn't guess who the parents are on this panel. You can definitely guess who has children on this panel.
I have 12 kids, and I'm like, it's fine.
Let them loose. Get them out of here.
Well, they have to have 180 days of instruction, but the state gives them a couple day leeway.
It's the dumbest thing. It is the dumbest thing. It's like, can you talk to a parent? Can someone run this by a parent? Now, we also used to get the DOE calendar 3 years in advance. They did that for a while. And then now they're like, no, we're going to wait until the end of April, give you some fucking slop AI calendar, and then now you're, having to struggle. It's fun. Anyway, well, guys.
Plus, now we have snow days in the mix. I don't know if you talk about...
Because it's snowing again, at least for now. Climate change
One
is
of
real.
Mamdani's big fuck-ups, I'll say it, was that first snow day. He was like, they have to get on the iPad.
Remote learning day?
Yeah. It's because of this calendar.
But he turned it into something incredible. Like, he fixed that mistake when he let that young girl announce that there was going to be no school.
Next time we had a snow day, he had to be like, you're actually going to have to go to school. And then it was like after we had the snow day, the next day was actually really bad too. And there were all these people out in the outer boroughs who were like driving through 4 foot snow drifts.
Yeah.
There's nothing I can do. Video.
That's where he's making the money. It's in
While you're on the iPad, why don't you head on over to YouTube and stream my music video?
That's so funny.
It is. It's just crazy. We have this weird thing, too, in the middle of February. We have a random break.
February break.
I love
why?
A Feb.
Do you know? I know why.
Why?
It has its roots in...
I'm on the school board, and no one's told me why.
It started in the 1970s when there was a fiscal crisis, so it was like a fuel saving. So the schools were not open when it would be the coldest, so they would not have to heat up hundreds of schools in New York City and pay for that. But once you give people a week off...
We're in another
they're
fuel
not
crisis.
Take it back.
So I guess yeah.
They're not taking it. But it was to save money from heating the schools.
Let them freeze.
Like Energy Conservation Week, it used to be called.
I want to talk about compost enforcement next. When the Department of Sanitation started enforcing the new compost mandate and issuing fines a year ago in April 2025, New Yorkers set out triple the amount of compost compared to the month before. Then Eric Adams' shadow mayor, Randy Mastro, ordered a pause on the fines, and compost collection fell 43% through the end of last year. Mamdani has resumed enforcement, but as of April 1, the city has only issued 610 fines. The sanitation department is launching a public awareness program started under Adams, and a spokesperson said, obviously, our first priority is to educate folks on how to do it. My question is education really the problem? Or is making people pay the way to get them to actually compost?
Pay. If I could just quickly, for the audience members who don't know who Randy Mastro is, he was the first deputy mayor under Mayor Adams and the last year. But if you know of any court case where there is like a clear villain and a clear not villain, Randy Mastro represents the villain. The Chevron Ecuador case, Ecuador. Madison Square Garden keeping Knicks legend Charles Oakley out of the garden, he represents the garden. So that's who we're dealing with this composting. He also reduced the speed of city bike e-bikes, so we have to pay the same amount of money to go slower. So we all, if you take an e-bike, pay more money to get home. So that's just a little background on Randy
Most
Mastro.
Bad things that happened last year were because of Randy Mastro, because Eric Adams was talking to the Albanians all day and letting this Republican lawyer run the city.
Handsy Randy, we would call him, because he's a very grabby fella.
Oh great. I love him even more.
Yuck.
So what is is everybody in the panel composting? Is your building composting? Is your super composting your compost after you put it in the compost area?
I'm composting. But other people who live with me are like, what do we do with this compost? I'm like, Everybody knows. Everyone knows what's goes in compost.
Did you say other people who live with you? Your family?
No, no.
Kids?
Yeah, my
Introduce
kids
yourself.
Are composting. No, the downstairs, I live in a two-story townhouse, and our downstairs okay. neighbors are very much, because I do the garbage most because they don't do it. I hope they're not here, but they are fucked up for not ever doing it. And they, I put out the compost thing. They've never once contributed any banana peels.
I compost. My mom, who also lives in the city, is so, it's like her most regressive concern. She's so repulsed by the idea of composting and is so mad that she just doesn't do it. I don't know why she hasn't gotten
because of
yet.
The work involved, or she just
she's
doesn't
just
like the
that's
idea
disgusting.
It's gross,
I got her the bin and she's like, that's disgusting. I'm not keeping my trash on the counter. I tried to get her the little soil bin for the backyard. She's like, that's gross. So I'm not
do
gonna
you know
fight
my
with her.
Pro tip, and I've shared this on the show, we put our compost in the freezer.
Our freezer is like with food. You wouldn't even know what's in that freezer. Yeah. There's no room in the freezer for the compost.
Well, she should compost everything that's in the freezer.
And COVID supplies.
Yeah, I keep it in the fridge as well, yeah. and it works really well to
it's
not
great.
Stink. Yeah.
And then some fairy comes and takes it, the magical fairy, the compost fairy, Charlie.
Oh.
I've never even seen our compost downstairs. I don't even know what
it's
it looks
not,
like.
It's not hard. I take the frozen bag down the
I'm not taking the trash down. That's not my job.
Nice. Oh.
I'm kidding, guys. That was a joke. I am.
Everyone got really like, that's sexist. It's everyone's job.
I know.
That's
I don't sexist. Know. I'm just skeptical. I feel like there's a lot of things in the city. It's like, we need more education. We need more education to tell the delivery drivers on the e-bikes which way they're supposed to go. It's like, no, they know that 9th Avenue goes south and 8th Avenue goes north. They don't want to do it. Might be because of the way DoorDash incentivizes them not to do it. But we don't need an education program. If we want them to stop doing it, we either need to address it with DoorDash or... You know, when even though I hated that Eric Adams and Randy Master were giving out criminal tickets, but it did stop the problem for better
or worse. Maybe we could DoorDash my garbage to the compost bin.
That'd be great.
But that's where it feels terrible to me that we would penalize these DoorDash people that are doing the wrong thing, but because they are in such an untenable situation,
yes.
it's like, well, I need to get to my next... The problem goes higher than them.
Yeah, I'm not saying the solution is law enforcement. I'm saying the solution is not education. We're constantly saying, like, if people just knew, they know. They don't want to do it. They don't want to separate their trash, so you have to find them, or they're not going to do it.
What if instead of having a pied-à-terre tax, we just put our compost in their apartments?
Yeah, no one's in there.
They didn't even know until, like, Christmas. Yeah,
that sounds like a lot of issues.
I also want to say one thing about fines as related to public urination and compost. I think all fines should be tied to income. Right, so
like a percentage.
Yeah, because like a $50 fine 100%. For urinating in public, if you're a millionaire, not a big deal, but that could be a significant amount of
what
money.
What if you're an actor? Are they going to take like last week's income when I didn't work?
Yeah, exactly.
Or like last year,
you
like,
need to
what
submit a W-2 for
your
a fine?
Adjusted gross income from last year determines.
But I had a really good year last year, Charlie.
Well, don't pee in public the next year.
I can't stop. I love it.
I 1,000% agree with that. Yes.
Yeah, we should have a sliding scale for fines.
Let's show, can we get photo number one up?
Oh, wow.
Let me take a look. So has anyone ridden an e-city bike with a phone holder yet? You can take a look up there.
Uh-oh.
They're rolling out this as a pilot feature on about 10% of e-bikes. I have personally not seen one IRL. Is anyone else?
We have someone in the audience.
I saw it, yeah.
What did you think?
Part of me is like, that's so grubby and disgusting. Like,
yeah, grubby and disgusting.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Yes, I've proven that by licking both.
RFK's done coke off both
creepy.
Of them.
I didn't even think about
that
you're
RFK.
Someone's putting like their gross phone screen. Oh yeah,
but
that's
I would
really
say
gross.
People are also putting their gross hands on the handlebars. So I mean, I'm
but you specifically your phone. Who knows? They were in the toilet looking at their phone, and then
your
they
hands
put their
were
phone
in the
there.
Toilet too.
They were in the toilet.
People are in the toilet looking at their phone, Justin. That's what they do.
I found it to be, I was afraid that it was too flimsy. So
yeah,
I
would
put
not
my phone
trust
in
my
there.
Phone in this. But if it prevents people from riding a white city bike with one hand while they're looking at their phone, then I'm for it.
That'll
I
save
see that
life,
behavior
yes.
a lot.
I got to say, Charlie, this is basically a car.
Now
we're coming up on car, Charlie.
You add a cup holder, it's definitely a car.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
The precious bike versus car, you're there.
I love, too, that like half of the city bike infrastructure is completely crumbling, but they're like, you know what'll help? phone holders. Yeah. I'm like, just fix the fucking bike.
The docks don't work, but we added a phone holder.
I mean, from a safety perspective, I do think this is actually good. Mm-hmm. Like, people are crazy on just having their phones out. So, like, if this stops one person from doing nine things,
but how can you take a really cute selfie with the phone and the phone holder? Do you still have to get it out and be like,
show me
she's
your,
right, I'm against it now. Yeah.
Show me your cute in-motion city bike selfie, and I will. We'll talk about how we can perfect this.
Let's get photo number two up, Andrew. We're going to talk about trash a little bit more. These are Empire bins. Mamdani is building on Eric Adams' trash containerization work and said that the city will deploy more than 6,500 bins in the next 2 years. The bins will be mandatory for residential buildings with 30 or more units. Sanitation officials have said that the bins could one day replace thousands of the city's parking spots. Would you prefer in front of your building, what would you prefer in front of your building? A car that never moves or bags of trash on the sidewalk? A car that never moves plus bags of trash on the sidewalk or one of these Empire bins in front of your building?
Well, not for you to shame me, but sometimes it's my car that never moves. So maybe in this instance.
Wow.
And sometimes I like parking by the trash, bags of trash, because no one else wants to. So it's like my little private spot. But there, yeah, I mean, we got to move to containerization. I get it.
It's like the one good idea Eric Adams had was getting...
I think it was Jesse Tisch's idea, if we're really being, you know, when she was a commissioner. You don't want to give Eric Adams too much credit.
Right.
Wow.
But he pushed for it. I mean, I liked his war on rats, and I think not putting all of our food out in plastic bags on the sidewalk is good.
This is very European.
It is. It is. They've been doing it in Europe for a long time.
Yeah. What's next? Public plazas for socialization?
I wish they were a little bit more interesting to look at. It looks so like bland and sanitized. Like, well, I know they can't
get
be
graffitied
different color.
Like in no time. Give it a week.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
They'll be.
Yeah, that'll be helpful. It feels like, you know how like every McDonald's looks the same now, and like they used to look so interesting. This is such a boring street to look at.
Well, I often complain about how McDonald's used to be beautiful.
McDonald's used to be that's my
used
art.
Used to be beautiful. Remember
when
the
first
time
had
like lights inside it. And
yeah.
I feel like they did this whole thing, you know, for years. It was like, well, we'll do a pilot program and we'll try this and we'll try this. And then they just end up with just regular old dumpsters. It's like, yeah, I guess that's what works. It keeps the trash in and keeps the smells in. And there you go.
We paid McKinsey to bring us these. So we paid them a lot of money for them to show us these usual dumpsters.
It is funny to call them Empire bins when they are dumpsters.
It's just a dumpster. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about somebody who's moving to the neighborhood very close to this theater, and that is Chris Christie. He is moving to Union Square. The former governor of New Jersey has bought a two-bedroom co-op on Irving Place, which is a north-south road here in Manhattan. According to city records recently filed, Christie and his wife, Mary Pat, paid $1.5 million for the apartment at 61 Irving Place. Christie was recently seen on Real Time with Bill Maher complaining about Mamdani's job shoveling snow. How will Chris Christie fit into his new neighborhood of Union Square?
Is that a
need to
kind
rephrase
of that.
Yeah,
how will he fit in? Come on.
I thought you were going to say the elevator, but no. I think, is that a pied-à-terre, right? Pied-à-terre?
I don't know if it's primary or not.
You got to check the vote. I'm going to check the voter records when I get home. See where he's registered to vote and getting a star rebate, and then we'll know.
Wow, that's good. Yeah, I mean, you have his address.
621 really, Irving. Yeah,
really,
let's go.
Really
let's go
done the research.
This,
go over that.
This is really awful. Like, I have to read someone's address. It is crazy that we know people's addresses. It's
you public. Know everything on Akris.
It's public. Yeah, everyone's address. If you own a home, it's public.
Well,
unless it's LLC. Yeah.
Any national Republican is like, New York's a fucking nightmare. And they're like, I'll be there next weekend seeing some Broadway. So it's the same thing. It's
exactly.
The same thing.
He's like, I need to get a good falafel and a good slice of pizza. Come on.
Honestly.
They all know so much about New York because they usually live here. Like all the Fox News hosts who were blasting New York from their studio in Midtown.
Yeah. It is crazy. Irving Place is an interesting location. That's like even snobby. That's a bit snobby for even Mr. New Jersey.
Look, he's going to see.
But he's hated in New Jersey. I don't blame him. But he's also hated in New York, so I don't know if he's going to do much.
He's
better.
Hated, period.
He's just hated.
Yeah. No one, literally no one likes him except for Bill Maher.
I think he's going to see a lot of good punk shows at Irving Plaza across
yes,
the street.
Yes, exactly.
For him.
He goes hard.
So this week was 420. And
where are my 420 heads at? Uh-huh. with my ride heads. Yeah. My ride heads.
Anyone?
From the ride and also 420 heads.
The NYPD put barricades all around the perimeter of Washington Square Park on Monday, preventing weed dealers from vending at a 420 celebration by making everyone enter through the arch and doing a bag check. Is selling weed an intrinsic part of Washington Square Park culture, or was the NYPD right to harsh the mellow?
Stupid waste of resources. Waste of resources, right?
It was I was in the neighborhood on Monday, and it was a lot of cops, a lot of barricades. I also walked through the park at about 10 p.m. at night when the cops were gone, and it was fine. There was a lot of people. There was a lot of trash. It was fine.
Where did everyone get their weed on Monday?
There's weed everywhere. What are we talking about? You can't walk around this city without being just constant weed smell. Like, what are we talking about there, having a barricade?
That is surprising to me that, like, selling weed is as popular in Washington Square as it used to be, like, when I was in college.
I think the same social media platform or social media channel that promoted the snowball fight, where some cops got hit with snowballs, was promoting a 420 event in Washington Square Park. So maybe that's why there was so much police presence as revenge for the snow.
Nice.
Oh, yeah, but I think that's but that's where you go to smoke pot. That is sort of it's like the mecca for potheads on 420.
Yeah,
so Washington Square Park is?
Yeah, right? That's where people go to smoke pot.
Dare worked really well on me. As my mom said, I have the face of a narc, and no one tells me about anything cool, so I didn't know that, but thank you.
I mean,
I was waiting tables in New York for a long time, and it took me like 5 years to realize everyone was doing cocaine.
Oh, yeah.
They keep going into the bathroom in pairs. That's so weird.
Seriously, they'd be like, will you watch my tables? I'd be like, sure, no problem. Everyone was snorting cocaine nonstop.
Yeah.
Except for me, I was watching everyone's tables and giving them good tips.
And are the cops barricading the Boca de Beppo in Times Square, where all the cocaine is being done?
Wait, there's cocaine in Boca de Beppo?
The wait staff?
Oh, my gosh.
Everyone was doing coke on the ride.
I worked at Blue Water Grill institution in Union Square, where Chris Christie will not be able to eat because it's now an empty storefront.
The idea that a cop was so pissed about the snowball thing that he was like, I'm going to wait till 420 to get my revenge is amazing. Just nightmare.
We can have photo number 3 up, please, Andrew. So this is a camera that was installed in just a regular residence window facing John's of Bleecker. So a 24-year-old software engineer has set up a website to track wait times at John's of Bleecker and nearby Lindestree Pizza, among other popular restaurants with lines in the West Village. The engineer paid residents with views out their windows of the lines to install cameras. The New York Post found some people waiting in line who felt it was a violation of privacy and quoted the owner of John's, who was upset that the wait times were inaccurate. What do we think of this service, this gentleman who's renting window space to put cameras facing lines?
Good for him. I mean, you're waiting online for pizza, which you can... I know Lindestree and John's, at least Lindestree is great pizza, but you're exploiting...
Good for him for filming?
Yeah, he's people are making money off figuring out how long lines are. There's cameras all over the city.
I think shove his ass in a locker. You don't film people without their consent.
Have you seen TikTok?
A couple times.
Everyone is
those
at
people
the gym.
I think know that they're doing it though, right?
No, but they're you go to a gym and someone's filming themselves, you're getting it. I think the era of any of the assumption of privacy at all when you're on a public street in the era of everyone recording things. At least this one is, I've been caught on the Ray-Ban Meta glasses. At least this is obvious. And if you're waiting 2 hours for pizza, maybe my point is if you're waiting 2 hours for pizza, you deserve it, which is my own judgment.
Well, that's where I feel like, I think it's fucked up this guy's doing this, weird business. But like, if you're watching this feed and like, gonna wait before I go down there, I'm like, grow up. What are you doing with your life?
But I think that this is old news because don't you guys remember the webcam that faced the original Shake Shack?
Shake Shack in Madison Square Park? Yeah, and that sucks.
Yeah, but I think it's not new.
Look at you with the little webcam nostalgia drop right there. That's really nice.
And another thing is like that was Shake Shack did that. They put it on their website. Restaurant doesn't want this thing.
It's a little weird that he's doing it without the permission of the
restaurant. And he's making money off, like, me sadly waiting alone for 2 hours.
How does he make money?
This guy's not making money. It's just a free website. He's making a name for himself, and we're talking about him, and he's at an article. He's just a software engineer who did
this. He's just doing this for the love of the game, love of filming people.
Hates lines, loves pizza.
It's a service, so you know how long the line is at John's.
The line goes way past these restaurants. I went by Joe's Pizza in Times Square, and the line was like wrapped around. You know, so at a certain point, it moves beyond your business, so you can't get mad if people are like,
isn't there always a line? What's the camera doing? Did you get wait 2 hours other than three?
Here's a pro tip. Joe's Pizza in Times Square, never wait in that line. Never there's one on 14th Street, one
right
block
here?
Away from this theater, and there's never a line
and
at that
line. And
it's
very good.
And I think, Katie, do you not like John's? You said the Lindstrom is good pizza. Are you not a John's fan?
It's fine. I mean, I'm like that hater where if there's ever a line, my instinct is to just...
Same.
Oh,
all pizzas. All pizza's fine.
Yeah. What was the great place that we ate at for my birthday? The slice shop?
Slice House, maybe?
Oh, yeah, Slice House. Yeah. It was really freaking
is there a line?
Good.
No,
I'll pull it up on my phone. We'll check it out.
And they deliver.
It's in the neighborhood of those other two places, and I think it's like someone that used to work at Lindstrom Street, but it's quite good.
Yeah, it was delicious.
Another restaurant that's in the news is Goop Kitchen. Gwyneth Paltrow's ghost kitchen chain, Goop Kitchen, has arrived in NYC with a location on West 46th Street, and more to come all over the city soon. Goop Kitchen's menu leans into what the company calls clean comfort food. Most dishes fall in the $15 to $25 range and are stripped of gluten, dairy, refined sugars, and other ingredients that the brand has long flagged as problematic. Will anybody be ordering from Goop Kitchen? And what do you make of ghost kitchens in general?
Goop Kitchen.
It sounds like beauty products. I always
exactly.
think of Goop. I think like...
That's like eating
the vagina
soap.
Pebble or the
hyaluronic acid.
My
first thought was
that
this seems very cheap for Goop. Like, isn't the whole thing about Goop about like luxury and that this like candle is $400 or something? I'm surprised these are $15 meals.
I mean, at $25, it's $15 to $25.
That's the same cost of like a Sweetgreen salad.
There's nothing in them. It's probably like a carrot. Like she's delivering a carrot.
Also, ghost kitchens are some bullshit. That's just like deceptive, nasty shit. There was like a Pasquale's Pizzeria on Seamless for a while. Pasquale is an animatronic from Chuck E. Cheese, and it was just Chuck E. Cheese pizza that they were branding as Pasquale's Pizza.
Actually,
but it was coming out of the Chuck E.
Cheese. You were getting it from Chuck E. Cheese.
Really?
Yeah.
And they were doing it? Or someone was like middle managing that?
So Chuck E. Cheese was doing it.
So Chuck E. Cheese would never put themselves on Grubhub or Seamless because no one would
ever
order.
Oh, you know what I want tonight? Chuck E. Cheese minus the fun parts of going to Chuck E. Cheese.
Oh, there's more to it? I've just gone for the pizza.
Brother, you got to play an arcade game.
Really? Oh,
yeah.
I've never made it past the pizza area. Really good.
The salad bar.
Really good.
I love the salad bar.
No better salad bar than Chuck E. Cheese's salad bar.
Unlimited refills. We love. We love a Coca-Cola that never ends. Yep, it's great. I hate a ghost kitchen. I hate when you think it's a restaurant that you like, and then you're like, wait, what? You walk by the storefront, and it's just one guy microwaving something.
Imagine how humiliating if you like recommended, like, I had Pasquale's pizza last night.
The best.
And then someone's like, dude, that's Chuck E. Cheese. Like,
yeah.
Ghost kitchens are just like deceptive and lame.
I've had people recommend places to order from, and I'm like, where is that? They're like, I don't know, I ordered on Seamless. I'm like, that's not a real place.
They're like, what?
I'm like, do you walk around the neighborhood? That doesn't exist.
I ate Pasquale's pizza and there was a baby tooth in it. I don't know what was going on with that. When are you ever hungry for a Goop?
Great question.
Never. Okay. Never. One more restaurant topic. If we could have photo number four up, please, Andrew. A friend of the show, Tim Donnelly from New York Groove, wrote an article this month calling out his local diner and other small businesses for using AI photos on their Instagram feeds. Daisy's Diner in Park Slope says it's a necessary tool to stay competitive. Do we fault small businesses for needing to feed the algorithm on a budget? And to describe this photo for those who are listening, this is, you would think the diner owner could just take a picture of food in his diner.
That
but this
was
is
my question.
Like, all AI generated, and you'll notice on the drinks menu, it says loaded beef nachos, or you can drink up some loaded beef nachos.
And an arrecita. I feel bad for small businesses because to stay ahead of the algorithm when you're competing against a ghost kitchen or to get in people's feeds, and I think they get exploited by people saying, just use this AI tool. I know of a restaurant in Queens that, I don't know how this happened, but they mistakenly sent out insulting all the other restaurants in the neighborhood. And they said, this was an AI thing, which, I mean, that seemed kind of crazy, but everyone is just trying to stay ahead of the algorithm. It's very depressing.
I mean, we used to just have our nephew take a picture. follow.
That's
like
what I'm
this.
Saying. I'm wondering how does this affect the algorithm more than like if they just plated that and took a photo?
I think they think it'll...
Because it looks nicer?
It looks nicer, it's easier to get on, and it gets put into people's feeds.
I will say to the people listening, that does not look like an appetizing burger.
Yeah, to think this looks nice as a person who makes the food at a diner is insane.
Yeah.
It's a little weird that there's cheese on the top of the bun and top of the burger.
No, I like
it's
going to
be like cheese
double,
on cheese when you close
cheese
that.
Cheese on cheese.
But that's
do you know people that are using AI for their... I know people that are using AI for their personal branding, but it's... AI pictures of them, and that's insane.
Like on vacation or something?
They look
like
better?
Like drinking coffee at a coffee shop, and you're like, that's not a coffee shop. There's no one in it, and your hand is going through the cup.
You have six fingers.
Yeah, and they're like, you know, it's when you think about like actors, sadly, we have a lot of photos of ourselves, and it's really disgusting, but the average person does not. And now some people are using AI to rather than spending money on someone going to do a photo shoot where they're, because if you want to discuss, anyway, it's creepy as shit and I don't recommend it, but
Christmas
it's
cards,
happening.
I think this past year, a lot of people, that's what they did for their Christmas card because it's cheaper than like going to whatever portrait studio, plus everyone looks great in it.
No.
And they can like send those out rather than actually taking a photo, which is like... so sad and defeating the purpose of like going as a family to get your Christmas photo.
Yeah, when I said earlier that we went to Ireland for spring break, I lied. We AI generated that vacation. They'll never know. Oh, thank
Larnie's
you for zooming in on that cheese.
Now that's good eating.
I guess I'm sympathetic that it does cost time and money to like get put your food on the table, prepare it, make it look nice, have a nice camera come in. And the problem is that that social media, like, that there's a need to feed it. You have to, like, post every day if you want to be top of mind and show up in people's feeds. But I don't think a restaurant should have to have a social media handle at all. They should just have a website that clearly says their hours, that's updated and accurate, and has their menu, and it shouldn't be a PDF. It should just be right there. That's
I love following a diner to find out when the soup's on and other stuff like that.
Has this specific restaurant, like, have they said if AI has helped them, hurt them? Like, it seems like they're only getting bad press from it. I certainly want to go to this place less now.
Yeah. I know Daisy's defended their need to do it. I don't know how they're doing.
But in their mind, it is helping them to do stuff like that.
I guess so.
They're all trying to get into someone's feed so that an influencer says, hey, guys, I just went to this diner. That's how people consume content and find out about food, unfortunately.
Well, that's kind of like what I was talking about with DoorDash. I'm like, these aren't the people I want to be mad at, but I also don't think that they should be doing it.
Yeah. All right, we've come to agreement.
The cheese looks delicious. We're all going to go out and get an AI burger.
All right, can we give it up for our amazing panel, guys?
Woo!
Thank you.
I want to ask everybody if they have something they want to plug. Plug your movie.
Please be on the lookout for a movie called Brian. It's a teen comedy that premiered at South by Southwest a few weeks ago, and I'm excited for people to see.
Woo-hoo.
And thank you. And you can watch Late Night with Seth Meyers.
Nice. I'm doing a show here tomorrow night called Characters Welcome. It happens at the end of every month. You can come here at the same time, 7 o'clock, and come see that.
Yeah.
Shouts?
I work for a local nonprofit news site, so you can come to the City of Den NYC, sign up for our daily newsletter. We're going to re-up our summer newsletter in May when it's the summer. So, you know, if you want to read long, complicated stories about the government sometimes. Sometimes they go long, I'll admit it. But come go to thecity.nyc.
And subscribe to Katie's podcast, FAQ NYC.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah,
and we want to plug, there's a local election happening in our district for city council. If you live in Manhattan, you have potentially, you could have a special election for your city council member. And we also have a primary coming up in June for a congressional seat that has been vacated.
That's right.
Or will be vacated.
New York 12?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The JFK Jr. grandson one?
Yeah.
Schlossberg's running. Please come back next month for our transportation special with Betsy Plum from Riders Alliance, Ben Furness from Transportation Alternatives, and Gersh Gutzman from Streets Blog. Thank you guys so much for coming out and being a great audience tonight. And thanks to Tyler Walker, who did our theme song, and thanks to the UCB for having us. And please remember to vote in midterm elections. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Everything's wrong with the universe. Accepting change is hard. Everything's bad and it's getting worse, but not in my backyard.
UCB, thank you so much for coming out to Not in My Backyard.